Welcome to another episode of The Litter Box, a Detroit Tigers podcast with your hosts, Bill Patterson and Chet West. Morning, Bill. We're doing this a little early this morning.
We are. We had youth sports all weekend and couldn't deliver our Sunday pod per the norm.
The fathers of children of youth sports world. Traveling exactly. All over the hinterlands of our various states.
I believe you were in Blaine, Minnesota most of
Blaine,
the weekend.
Yes.
And I was in Skokie upon the mighty Chicago River.
That sounds lovely this time of year.
It was glorious. Let's talk about this. The Tigers win another series in the Twin Cities at Target Field. Friday, they won 7-6. It was an awesome game to watch. Back and forth. Very exciting. Saturday, a little more cruise control for our Motown Kitty Cats. They won 4-0. And then yesterday, it just wasn't their day. They lost 5-1, but I have no complaints.
It was a close affair until about the sixth inning when Mize kind of let a few
he
guys.
He didn't pitch terrible, though.
No, he just pitched a good game.
The Twins are a talented team. It was their ballpark. The weather finally got decent, and it just wasn't the Tigers' day. But again, they won another series, so I think we have nothing but kudos to say for this team. So
whenever you take 2 out of 3 on the road, regardless of who you're playing, that's just fine. You walk away with that. That's a victory.
Absolutely.
You're not going to sweep everybody, no matter how bad they are, and I'll take 2 out of 3 on the road any day.
Although the Twins haven't been off to the greatest start, I still think, and you thought the same thing when we were doing our AL Central previews, that they were one of the top teams, they and the Guardians, and they just haven't gotten off to that start. That's a pod probably for the next time we play the Twins, because, again, too small of a sample size. But, again, taking a road series in the manner that the Tigers did just has to feel good. This team seems like they're gelling. It seems like they have fun with each other. And AJ Hinch seems to be the right manager for this team, having these guys rotating a lot of different, you know, nobody's positions necessarily secure. And we'll talk a little bit more about that because there were, I don't know, some fielding snafus between Gleybar and, you know, the kind of rotating of shortstops.
Sure.
So a little bit of confusion there. He and Sweeney had a kind of mishap yesterday. But overall, I'm very, very, very pleased. What are your just overall thoughts as we head to Milwaukee to face the Red Hot Brewers, who I believe are now 7-3 in their last 10. They won a weekend series in Arizona. Give me some thoughts.
Brewers are hot, but the Cubs are hotter. So unfortunately for the Brewers right now. So they're sitting in second place. That will be a tough series. In regards to the Twins series here, I saw a couple of things that stuck out first and foremost. First of all, every game was close through the first two thirds of the game. First game went back and forth, as you alluded to there. Tigers had a huge inning in the sixth. Dylan Dingler had an exit velocity of 110 on one of his balls. He smoked the ball all weekend long. This guy is crushing it.
My guy.
Your guy. He was 3-for-5 in game one. He had 3 hard hit balls in his 5 at bats. Not to be outdone by Trey Sweeney, who's hitting the ball pretty hard in that game too, which is kind of odd for Trey because he does not typically hit the ball very hard. These are all exit velocity. When you say a hard hit ball, these are all exit velocities 95 miles an hour or greater. Kerry Carpenter, while he did not do great in game one, did smoke a couple balls. Other than that, I mean, Colt Keith, probably his best performance of the three games, went 2-for-5. I enjoyed seeing that. I thought, ooh, maybe Colt's going to start picking it up. Nah, that didn't last for very long. And your boy, Javier Baez, holding up the 9 spot in the order, is still continuing to hit. Things baffle me sometimes with Javi. I don't really know what to say, but the guy ended up hitting, I think throughout the whole series, he's fairly consistent. I don't think he got anything in game two, but in game one, he got himself a hit. I would have to drill in and see what game three looked like. I truly did not pay much attention to yesterday's game. I was peeking in on the box score as I was detained with children's sports.
Well, a lot going on too, you know. I would be remiss if we didn't bring this up early in the show. Congratulations to your Western Michigan Broncos alma mater winning.
Let's take a second for that.
NCAA Men's Frozen Four Hockey Championship. Awesome.
Let's take a second.
Kudos to you. Kudos to them. Kudos to the university.
Give praise. Our first national championship since the 1965 cross country team secured a national championship. The only other national championship besides those two was the 1964 cross country team. So we apparently were some sort of a dynasty in cross country in the mid 60s.
For two years. Glorious years.
We
Kalamazoo, Michigan was the hotbed of men's cross country running.
Unbelievable. But the first, I would say, major sport national championship, albeit probably the fourth of the four majors.
Don't belittle.
I'm not belittling. We take those. We enjoy those. I thought it was fantastic.
Tequila, you know, the good brown liquor and enjoy it.
There's nothing quite like seeing national champions next to your school. That's a great feeling, regardless which sport it is. But yes, thank you for calling that out. Appreciate you touching on that.
News and notes.
Fire away.
All righty. This, unless you watched the game yesterday, this pretty much slid under the radar, but there was a car caught fire in the parking lot outside Target Field. And at one point, Jason Benetti and Andy Dirks were kind of coughing and laughing because they said it smelled like burned rubber. What was interesting about it is they had an ice cream person who you need to try, A to Z Creamery.
Oh, yeah. I've had it.
Okay. Yeah. And they were interviewing him because the traveling secretary for the Tigers is a huge fan.
Sure.
Of this ice cream. And it's a pretty cool story. These guys started it during the pandemic, quit their day jobs because it took off. They make ice cream in a 1,200 square foot facility. You have to pick up. It's just, you know, what everybody would want in a small business.
So let me elaborate on this a little bit, but let me elaborate on AZ Creamery. Go on.
So they're talking about all these delicious flavors and how they create all these ice cream. And all of a sudden, Benetti just breaks in and is like, there's a car burning. And you can see smoke wafting through Target Field, and you can see as the cameras are panning to the crowd, like people like are taking a sip out of their cold beverage and
I did not see this.
Ugly faces and crinkling up because I mean, we've all smelled burning rubber and it smells terrible. And so then they actually did an aerial shot, and sure enough, the fire department, the police department's there, and a car just like, I don't know if it spontaneously combusted, but I mean, it burnt essentially itself down to the ground. Fortunately, they parked, like I do, far away from other cars. It didn't spread.
But a wonderful metaphor for the twin season so far. That's fantastic.
So give me your thoughts. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Sorry. First and foremost, on the A to Z Creamery thing, A to Z Creamery is crazy. So Saturday was record store day. And a record store that I'm a big vinyl guy. Record store that was hosting Record Store Day is across the street from AZ Creamery in Hopkins, Minnesota. When A to Z Creamery, they do some sort of a release. It's like a limited flavor release. People line up down the street. Like the line, there were two lines, one for Record Store Day to get all the limited vinyl reissues or issues, and one for A to Z Creamery. So Hopkins was hopping on Saturday, and I couldn't believe it because I'd heard about this before and I'd had some A to Z Creamery. Some people have like given me a batch of it to try or whatever. And there I was, and there was a line of no less than 75 people outside of this place trying to get this ice cream.
That's fantastic.
For their release. And they only release it like periodically. It's not like a, you know, I don't know all the.
They do one flavor per week. I did do a deep dive.
Is that it? So people go and they get that like one flavor when it releases, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Well, they did pizza flavored ice cream, mozzarella flavored ice cream with a candied tomato swirl. And then I think they candied the pepperoni or something.
That's
sound like mad scientists / alchemists.
I think that's what they
behind the creamery.
It's kind of
really quick. Yeah. I am also a
AZ Creamery. Cut the check. We just gave you a ton of pub.
Yeah. I am also a vinyl collector and want to talk a little bit about Record Store Day. I hit up Belmont because there were four different stores that participated. Did you find success and get what you wanted?
I got some of what I wanted. I didn't get the Post Malone album. I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to stand in line for those anymore.
Yeah, I didn't get Oasis either.
I get the drippings. I get what people don't grab. And usually it's like jazz stuff that I want to grab anyways.
I got the Gorillaz Live at the Apollo and the Verve Live in New York.
Oh, you got the Verve one. Interesting. Yeah. I did not.
That was, I got the last copy. And then Oasis Reckless Records got one. It was only 1,000. I didn't really want it per se, but Oasis couldn't be hotter right now. We all know about the world tour sold out in like 20 seconds, blah, blah, blah.
We'll see.
Anyway, they did a Japanese re-release of all their singles, all stuff that's previous released. And yet it was the hottest record for a record store day. No kidding. Yeah. Well, because there was only 1,000 copies. I mean, right?
Well,
at least in the U.S.
Sure. Yeah.
I think they sent it. I'm sure in Manchester, there were probably 10,000
copies. Just like the
Post
Malone, I think, was like 1,000 copies or something.
Yeah. And it sold obviously out Post is bigger than those guys. But
yeah.
All right. Back to news and notes.
Yes.
Our guy Torque continues to rake. I've just got some interesting tidbits here. The Twins unveiled a statue of Hall of Famer Joe Mauer prior to Sunday's finale.
Yes.
And interesting things. Obviously, Joe Mauer, very deserving. But this is kind of crazy. Torque is an unbelievable hitter at Target Field. In his career, which is 18 games, that's a pretty good sample size, 284. So he's 19 for 67, four doubles, six home runs, and 13 RBIs. He has more home runs at Target Field than any other road ballpark. So anyhow, Torque continued that trend. And it was interesting because a few years ago, he hit a foul ball and chipped a piece off of a Joe Mauer plaque.
Wow.
And so the joke was, would he be able to hit the statue? And the answer was no. Nobody mashed it that hard. The Twins fortunately put it in a place that you couldn't get. And so be it. Other news and notes. Jackson Jobe picked up his first major league win on Masters weekend. He is the son of a pro golfer. So kind of a neat little story there. And then kind of rounding out, you know, because we just did a pod on this. And so really the key thing we want to talk about is the Twins series and then the Brewers series upcoming is that we've got Derek Skubal coming up again this evening in Milwaukee. The Brewers do have to travel back from Arizona, and it's just going to be an interesting series, I think, forthcoming. So hopefully we get to see the great Derek, and the bullpen, if needed, will do what they can, and hopefully the Tigers can get another road series win.
Jackson Jobe had a very workmanlike effort. Six innings, two hits, one walk, two Ks. Nothing incredible other than the fact that he held the Twins scoreless for the six innings that he pitched. You know, the strikeout numbers were not incredible. The walk numbers were also very good, though. And he kept the ball in the yard. And that is kind of what you want to see him doing. I will take that outing from him any day of the week, twice on Sunday. Your guy, Tyler Holton, pitched in game two. He had a little bit of a redemption. He had a decent weekend, I believe, in his outings. So maybe he's back on track now. You don't have to worry about your guy anymore. He had two good outings this weekend, from what I can tell here.
Yeah,
so
no,
Friday
did.
And Sunday. So, hey, we got Tyler Holton back on track. Your guy, your pick to click for the season. What did you see from pitching specifically this weekend that you liked?
I mean, nothing really bad. Like we said, Friday's game was back and forth, meaning that runs did score. But I will say this, the Tigers starting pitching and the relief pitching isn't walking a lot of batters, so they're making it easier on themselves. As I alluded to before, I still think the musical chairs that Hinch and the Tigers are playing with the fielding is taxing. So yeah. I don't know that it's totally fair to the pitchers because some of these balls shouldn't be in play. They should be outs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily recorded as errors, but they're not fielded cleanly into outs like they should be.
Their fielding needs to improve a little.
So, well, here's the thing. Without permanent positions, I do think the Tigers are somewhat going about this without, you know, one hand tied behind their back. So a couple things. The last thing I wanted to talk about that was good. Tigers are still in first place. They're 9-6.
Yep.
The Guardians have been scorching hot. Fortunately, the Royals took one from them, but the Indians had won five straight before yesterday's loss to Kansas City. And so they're in first place, you know, a game ahead of the Guardians. The Royals are hanging around. They're 8-8. And they're a game and a half back. They've played the most home games of any team in the division. And then the Twins are 4.5 back. The White Sox are 5 back. Interesting couple sidebars for you. The Boston Red Sox couldn't wait to get out of Fenway after having a bad series midweek. And their announcers are like, nothing like going to the White Sox and Guaranteed Rate Park to right the ship and feel good. And then promptly went and lost 2 of 3. And I do have to say, this is poetic justice. Garrett Kershaw demanded out and wouldn't re-sign a contract or an extension with the White Sox. They ended up trading him to the Red Sox. He had a no-no going through 8 and the White Sox broke it up.
That is...
Seven. Not, yeah. And so I just, a little bit of poetic justice on that.
I bet that felt very good in the clubhouse afterward.
Just going around the league, another thing that I don't know that any of us would have predicted 3 weeks into the season, the San Diego Padres are on top of the National League West.
They've only lost like 3 games, right?
Yeah, they're 13-3. The best part about this is the Dodgers aren't in second place. They're in third place at 11-6, 2.5 games back. The Giants have been scorching hot and just took 2 of 3 in the Bronx against the Yankees. Another Benettiism that I thought was awesome. He and Dierks were talking about the Colorado Rockies and whether they would have a better chance of winning the National League West or the American Football Conference South.
Oh my gosh.
They said that they'd have a better chance of beating the Colts, Texans, and Jaguars and Titans than they would overcoming the Giants, Dodgers, and Padres.
By the way, you file this under the Benetti Dierks genius broadcasting. Did you see them do the golf broadcasting during Saturday's game?
No, I missed that. I'm sorry.
Oh, look it up on YouTube.
I will.
Benetti and Dierks basically called an entire inning in like a Jim Nance, Kenny Ventura type with that tone.
We couldn't hear it, though.
It was hilarious.
I took my parents to the sports book at the DraftKings at Wrigley.
As one does.
Well, they've loved it. I mean, and they had never
degenerates
wagered like that before. So I need to take our winnings over. We bet Western Michigan, Tigers money line, the under. So we hit on all those. Oh, and Torque, 2 hits. So we won that one. Trying to think what we lost. We bet on, you'll love this one. And please let your soccer playing daughters know. Der Klassiker, the Bayern Munich,
yeah.
Or Bayern Munich versus Dortmund.
Leverkusen or Dortmund, yeah.
That's yeah. It, yeah. And we took Dortmund because we got great odds, like plus 825 or something. And I don't think you watched it, but they had 2 golden opportunities from the 85th minute on. And everybody in the book was going nuts. Also,
I heard it was a high scoring game, which doesn't shock me because every time Dortmund plays, it's like at least 5 goals are scored in the game.
Anyhow, we didn't win it, but it was made it really, really fun. The other thing, I need to give a shout out to a gentleman that had Masters, the caddy bibs or coveralls. Yeah. But he had a Bushwood logo on the front.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Yeah, I gave him a shout out. Not only on this, but I give him a shout out in person, too.
That's fantastic.
Like, thank you for getting it. I'm like, who doesn't get that? So
please go listen to the Benetti Dierks.
We'll do. I can't wait. Yeah, yeah. I can't
for
wait.
For the inning of baseball that they did. It's art. They should get an Emmy for that alone.
Oh, and I do have a little bit of dirt on why Benetti is now with the Tigers and no longer with the White Sox.
Here we go. Can you do it in 1 minute? Okay.
Apparently, there's a guy named Brooks Boyer that's like the head of White Sox marketing. And Benetti made some comment like he didn't feel respected. And Boyer was like, meaning Benetti respect or normal person respect? And Benetti was like, sure, someone else would want my talents. And guess what? You know, they rotated through the analysts last year, and he and Dierks are, I mean, nothing short of a revelation. So that's it.
I heard something along those lines happen. Some front office guy made some sort of a comment along the lines.
That's your front office guy. All right, go ahead.
There it is. Crack reporting by you years later. Well, okay. We were going to cover a couple other items here. I wanted to talk a little bit about what was going on down on the farm.
Please.
Just because we want to keep an eye on some of these prospects. You know, it's funny because when you're winning and you're in first place, as we are, you don't look down on the farm very often because all the talent is up there doing what it's supposed to do. So you're not going, oh, who's going to come up and help us at any given moment? So I haven't really been talking about what's going on down at AAA and within our farm system. So I figured I'd touch on it here a little bit and see what we could see. On a positive note, guys like Max Clark doing quite well. He's got a homer, 11 RBIs. He's doing the hitting he's supposed to do. He's got an 890 OPS so far. Again, we're talking about 42 plate appearances. The minor league season starts a little later than the major league season just because of getting everybody out of camp and everything. But he started off to it, got off to a decent start. One guy that sticks out to me, Jace Young, 3 home runs so far. He's batting .271, 99 OPS. The one thing I don't like to see is he's got 18 Ks. He's up there at the top of our minor league system in Ks so far. And that's kind of what he needed to be working on. So Jace, cut those down a little bit because I just don't see him coming up if his K numbers are that high. So he still has some work to do. He's at AAA right now. 30% strikeout rate right now for him. Not the greatest thing. He was
one that we were.
Yeah.
We thought it was a golden opportunity. It's for
golden
him
opportunity. And he's obviously carried over some of the struggles.
Well, I mean, he's young and he's just not ready yet.
I like that he's got some power going for him. He's got a .563 slug. He's got 3 home runs in 61 plate appearances. So that's pretty good, but not going to get it done. And my guy that I thought was going to be our next great one, and maybe he still will. Again, it's super early, but Theron Lorenzo is struggling. He's struggling mightily, struggling his butt off right now. He's batting like .111. Kevin McGonigal's injured. He's one of our big guys. He got placed on the 7-day. So he hasn't had he's had like 5 plate appearances so far. So not much to say about McGonigal. In his 5 plate appearances, he has 1,200 OPS though. So he's got that going for him. On the pitching side of things, I was really kind of looking at Matt Manning. I wanted to see how he was going to be doing this season. He's getting racked up pretty good. He's had 2 starts so far, giving up 8 runs in those 2 starts. He has had 10 Ks, which isn't terrible. This point, we're expecting a little more out of Matt Manning. Troy Melton, however, has done pretty well in his 2 starts. He's given up only 3 hits in 2 starts. He has given up 2 walks, but he's paired it with 10 Ks, so that's pretty good. And that's about what I've got to report. So we'll see. It's early. It's early. Things are happening. Your guy, Andrew Chafin's down at AAA. He's made 6 appearances so far. He's been hit around a little bit. He's got like 300 runs in his relief appearances. Not doing great. A couple walks, strikeouts aren't, anything to write home about. Sporting a 4.76 ERA, 1.59 whip. Like, I think he may be done unless a team really needs a reliever that bad. He just doesn't look like he's got it going. We'll see. Still early. We'll keep you posted on these things on a weekly basis. If we see anything that sticks out or anybody has a huge game.
He was a depth signing who remained unsigned late into spring training. Chafin, that is. And high ceiling, low floor. And if it doesn't work out, the bullpen has been lights out thus far. He's going to have a tough struggle without someone getting injured or really performing terribly for him to find his way in. A couple questions for you. Malloy has cooled a little bit. Obviously, Keith, we were optimistic after that 2-5 outing. Do you see, as players start to get healthy, those two potentially being sent down to AAA at Toledo? And if so, is there one that you'd prefer? Or would you prefer to keep both up and maybe send someone like Sweeney down?
Creedler's
hanging on by
for a second.
This is kind of his teeth.
Yeah, Keith and Malloy might be suffering the most from this whole position shakeup stuff and the concept that things just aren't steady.
More so than Green, who seemingly can't hit if he plays center field.
Riley started pretty well, and he's struggled quite a bit over the last 2 weeks. In all honesty, Riley has actually been worse than Colt over the last week, where hitting is concerned and getting on base. Colt, he had a decent game on Friday. He had a good game on Friday. I look at this way. Malloy was doing great till Glaber came back. Glaber took over the leadoff spot. Malloy got moved around in the order. Malloy hit anywhere like between 5th and 6th in the order, which is a little different than hitting leadoff. He did not respond well to that. So I think with Glaber up, finding him a spot in this lineup is going to be kind of difficult. I think he played left field one day. He DH'd one day. He filled in at left field yesterday. So he really only got in one game out of the three. He started one game out of the three and he DH'd. And then you've got Cole Keith bouncing around. Cole Keith DH'd yesterday. So Glaber could play second and Spencer could play first. And then you take these guys and you DH them and they're normal field guys. And I think it screws with their rhythm. I don't think it helps. So like you said, at the outset, we've got musical chairs going on. We got guys coming in batting all over the order. You know, you put, it's almost like, hey, Glaber's here. He's playing second base and he's leading off every day now. And it shakes everything up. We'll see how this shakes out because Glaber had a good series. He hit well. He was 1-for-4 yesterday. He had a couple hits on Friday's game, I believe, if I remember correctly. Looking back, it's not like it's his problem, but it's more like the makeup of the team now. Spencer's playing so well. He's played himself back into this lineup to the point now where it's like if Torkelson, if you had a crystal ball and Torkelson was going to hit this well, even just to start the season, you wouldn't even have signed Glaber. Like it wouldn't even been necessary. Tork would have been your everyday first baseman. And so now they have what, you know, if Hinch plays the lineup cards right and shuffles these guys around properly, but I think he's trying to figure out where everybody fits best now. We're going through this like growing pains portion of the season. I think this stuff works itself out by May.
I agree.
I'm not terribly worried. I'm not worried about Colt. Colt is the one that did sign that pretty large deal last year. I think they're going to give him every chance to succeed because one, they forced this change on him. They slid him over to first. They bulked in. They want him to bulk up, get prototypical first base hitter-ish, you know, hit for more power. When guys make changes like this, I mean, I said at the beginning of the season, we'll see how this whole change for him goes. It could be a drastic change that turns into an issue. And it has now. Just like Corbin Carroll last year tried to add power to his swing. And what did he do? He had a really bad first half of the year. And he was in a very similar situation. He was coming out for his sophomore season. So sophomore slump, whatever you want to call it, I think this has a little more to do with it than just a sophomore slump for Colt. I think they're going to let him work through it. Jahan, unfortunately, you know, you start looking at who gets sent down. I don't think Creedler played a lot this past weekend. I know he came
because
in
because they put Green in center.
Hitter. Yeah. So maybe Creedler's the god man out.
Well, I still, think he is once we get a healthy center fielder back. But
well, Margot could just be released. So when
his
he
contract's
back,
favorable to the Tigers, there was
I know
money owed if he played X amount at the, you know, the show level. And then if his minor league contract is pennies on the dollar outside of it. So he kind of bet on himself. If I can circle back really quick,
because
we talked about this in spring training. The Glaber signing is so curious because it was a position. It was probably the least needed position to address for the Tigers. And I almost wonder if it was because he was signable. And I mean, quite frankly, the Tigers actually got a pretty good deal on him. And I do wonder come the trade deadline, depending on how this team's doing, if it was just a smart move to accumulate more draft picks.
Is he a chip for the trade deadline? Almost. And even if they're doing well, I could see them. If he's doing as well as he is, hitting as well as he is, but he's a year rental. We got to get something out of him. If he's playing well, they might as well trade him. We got people that can play the position. Now, if Torkelson goes back to being the Torkelson of 2024,
you've got insurance.
Which could happen. You've got insurance, and then you can move guys around as planned. I don't know. I mean, you know, Tork being a much different looking hitter this season kind of throws a wrench in all that. So
he looks like college Tork.
Either way, we're complaining about things in first place, so whatever. It'll work itself out. Some of these guys are – Riley Green's not going to hit like he did over the last six games for the rest of the season.
He'll revert back to what he was the first two.
He'll figure it out. I truly do think Colt will figure this out. I think we just may not see him until after the All-Star break starting to click.
Okay, that's an interesting prediction.
If he starts clicking before June, good on him for getting it squared away that fast, but there are so many adjustments going on for him right now. And not to mention the pitchers have adjusted to him too. So your sophomore season, the sophomore slump's a thing because you basically have to adjust to what the pitchers are now doing to you. So can he come back and adjust to that?
Yeah. Hey, my last thought before, as we wrap up, just tonight's probable pitchers. We've talked about Turk Skubal on the mound. I do want to give just some curiosity. Tyler Alexander is going to be on the bump for the Brewers. He is a lefty, 6'1", 214, 30 years of age. You know, last year he was very middle of the road, 6-5, 5.10 ERA, just over 100 innings pitched. His whip was 1.24. He's off to a great start this year, though. He's pitched in four games. He's 1-0, 2.84 ERA, 12 innings pitched, 12.2, 12 strikeouts and a whip of 1.18. So between his 12 strikeouts and Skubal's 16 to start the year, I think we're going to see a low scoring affair this evening. And, you know, there's going to be certain Tigers that don't hit lefties well that will not see the field tonight until possibly Alexander's out of the game, or I could also see both pitchers making it past the seventh inning, both starting pitchers, that is. So I'm expecting a low scoring pitcher's duel tonight, and I'm looking forward to it.
I tell you who I think's going to have a field day on Alexander tonight, or who could have a field day on him based on metrics. Torque and Dingler might have a very good game tonight.
I like it.
I'm looking like ahead at them. Their stats, their hard hit rates against lefties, their WOBA, everything is off the charts in the red right now for them.
Well, I'll have to walk over to the book and hammer it.
I think guys who could struggle would be the Jay Hens, the Colt Keats, and possibly even Javi doesn't do as good against lefties as you'd think. So they could be on the struggling side of things. A guy that I think might do some damage against us, who you don't hear his name that often, is a guy by the name of Bryce Terang. Keep an eye on him for the Brewers. He's had a pretty darn good season so far, and he could cause us some fits in this game. And Jackson Chourio, of course, young guy to watch. He's one of the best young players in the game right now. He's going to be another guy that you're going to go, oh, so we got to worry about him. Yeah. And there's a chance, you know, the thing I'm curious about, Kerry Carpenter against a lefty. They've been hitting him against lefties, and he's actually been putting the ball in play when he does go up against them. So let's see if he keeps it going. He hasn't had the greatest season so far, but
I don't think he'll see the field tonight until
you don't think he plays at all tonight. No. Okay.
I think they save him for tomorrow. I'm just going to give you the other pitching matchups. Tuesday's Flaherty against Quinn Priester, who is a right-handed pitcher for the Brewers. Again, low ERA, 1.8. His whip's 1.6. He's only pitched 5 innings thus far, but just something to keep in mind. So I think that's Carpenter's game or time to shine. And then Wednesday, it's a 12:40 start. And they have not announced who the Brewers pitcher will be, but we've got Reese Olson going for the Tigers. He's sitting at 1-1, 6 ERA, his whip's 1.67, he's pitched 15 innings. So I will give the Tigers brass and AJ a really good kudo on this. We've gotten great performances from the starting pitching, but they have not let them go too long in any way, shape, or form. I will say I'm expecting, just because typically pitching starts off better in April than the hitting does, I'm expecting one of our starters to have either a complete game or 8 2/3 innings, 8 1/3 inning upcoming here between now and possibly the next pod. So just something to look for.
And it, I can get with that. Also, if you are looking for something interesting to watch off the Tigers radar, Paul Skeens is going tonight.
Oh, all right.
So he'll be pitching for the Pirates. If you've got the MLB package and you can dial into that one, it might be worth.
I do have the MLB package, and I do have to go cash out the winning tickets. So I will probably reapply the money on Skubal and Skeens. I appreciate the heads up. Thank you. All right. With that, have a great week. And
will do.
Enjoy youth sports. Enjoy.
Always do.
A to Z Creamery, and enjoy your new records.
We'll talk to you, Bill. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.